number 22.
Earlier in the chapter of Luke, Jesus told his disciples, he gave them authority to tread over serpents, over scorpions, over all the powers of the enemy, and he said, nothing shall hurt you. But in this rejoice not, but rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. I'm glad tonight my name's written in heaven. I thank the Drake kids for that song. Something to rejoice about tonight. Luke chapter 22. Several weeks ago, I preached a message out of the same chapter, same verse, on the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ, where Jesus said, Peter, Satan's desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Where Jesus prayed for us. What a thought tonight that Jesus, God himself, praying for you and I, interceding on our behalf, dropping in on our situation. What a thought. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny me, deny that thou knowest me. Father, tonight we want to thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Father, for the blessings of the day, for the blessings of this past year. Lord, for the service that we had this morning, Father, for your spirit that we felt. But Lord, Father, we need something new tonight. We need you to speak to our hearts. Father, we're a needy people. I pray, God, you'd bless the reading of your word and everything that I say. Lord, that would bring honor and glory to your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here, our Lord is telling Peter that Satan has desired to have him, that he may sift him as wheat. And I believe it's as if Satan hears Peter bragging. Satan hears Peter saying, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee into prison and unto death. And it says, Satan hears Peter bragging and says, Lord, let me have Peter. Let me sift him as wheat. And our Savior saying, well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, Satan. And we know Satan wants to sift Peter. He wants to sift you and I tonight as wheat. As they would sift that wheat, they would try to separate the chaff and the debris and the small rocks and pebbles and stems from that wheat. And Satan wants to sift us tonight and take those things in our lives to accuse us with them. But the Lord allows him to sift us as wheat, and he takes those things in our lives to cleanse us. And here Peter, a man who failed, a man who has failed miserably. But for Peter, we see as we read here in a moment, this was just a new beginning for Peter. It was the dawning of a new day. It was going to be a personal revival that takes place in Peter's life. You know, tonight it's my desire, and it's my desire for my family and my desire for this church that we understand and we recognize that God is a merciful God, that God is a forgiving God, and God is a God that wants to give us personal revival. Tonight, if we had a pastor that vulgarly swore and cursed in front of our youth group, if we had a pastor out in public that would deny Jesus and say this Christianity stuff is nothing but a farce, we would have nothing to do with him. We would say, I'm not going to that church. I'm not listening to him preach no more. We would have nothing to do with him. That's what Peter did. But I'm glad God was not through with Peter. God sent Peter personal revival. In 2 Timothy 2, the Bible says, if we believe not, yet he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. I'm glad Jesus Christ is faithful. And for Peter, this was going to be a new beginning, a dawning of a new day, a personal revival to come. And tonight, no matter where we're at on that spiritual thermometer, whether we're cold and whether we're indifferent, whether we have grown despondent on God, or whether we're hot touching heaven, no matter where we're at tonight, God wants to give us revival. He wants to send us revival, and he's not finished with us, for our failure tonight, let me say, is not final. No doubt I failed in this past year. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you have too. But our failure is not final. God wants to give us to restore. He wants to renew. He wants to revive yet again. Jesus here in our text, he's telling his disciples that he's going to the cross, that he's going to suffer, that he's going to die. And he said, one of you is going to betray me. They began to argue amongst themselves who it's going to be. They began to debate on who is the greatest of them all. And Peter begins to boast. He said, Lord, I am willing to go with you into prison and to death. And Jesus tells Peter, he said, Peter, before this day's over, he said, before that rooster crows, you'll have denied me three times. I began to wonder in studying this, why Peter, a disciple, one on the inner circle, one that Jesus chose, and he allowed him to be with him in special moments and times and places, why would Peter fail so miserably? I mean, this is Jesus. This is God himself. Peter had saw all the miracles, all the marvelous works of God he performed. He saw him all the great things. He's making intercession for Peter. He's praying for Peter. So why did Peter fall so miserably? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed and to be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto him, Peter, get behind thee, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Let me say tonight, number one, Peter, instead of receiving the word of God, he rebuked the word of God. He began to argue with the Lord. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about his death, about his resurrection, and Peter's saying, no, Lord, that will never happen. Lord, that will never be. That will never come. Peter is arguing. Instead, he should have been a listener. He was not receiving the word, but he was rebuking the word. Tonight, I know as you read the word of God and as you listen to the word of God, it's my prayer that you receive it for what it is. Instead of praying it through your mind of judgment and trying to add your own interpretation or your own spin or to conform to your own way, Peter was rebuking instead of receiving. Let me say, not only was Peter rebuking instead of listening, but Peter was boasting instead of depending. Back in our text in Luke chapter 22, in Luke chapter 22, verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and unto death. Peter was boasting instead of depending on what the Lord was going to do and what he was saying. Peter, we know he was naturally bold. Peter was naturally aggressive. He was a confident man. Peter was a man that had great courage, great fortitude. It was Peter that jumped ship and went to Christ as he stood on the shore after the resurrection. It was Peter that jumped out of a boat, went walking on the water. It was Peter that drew his sword and cut off Malchus's ear. He was naturally bold. He was a confident man. But Peter began to boast instead of depending on the Lord. Began to think about this pastor. I believe it to be true. Most people fail not in their weakness, but they fail at the point of their strength. The things they're strong on, the things that they are good at, the things that they prosper at. That's where people, you and I, Christians, begin to fall. As you study your Bible, you look at those great men of God that fail. I think of Abraham. What was Abraham's strength? Abraham's strength was his faith. We heard about it Wednesday night in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham sojourned. He was strong in faith. But look where he failed. His point of failure was his strength. There, when he lied about Sarah, he's saying that she's my sister. He didn't have enough faith. There, when he tried to take Hagar and lie with Hagar, not having enough faith and trying to help God out on the promised seed. I think of Moses. What was Moses' strength? Bible says he was the meekest man that ever lived. I mean, the meekest one that ever put on shoe leather. But yet the meekness is where Moses failed. In Moses' strength, his meekness, Moses became a murderer when he took that Egyptian's life. Think of David, a man of great integrity. I mean, he was a man of integrity. Integrity was David's strength. But where did he fall? At the moment of his point of strength, integrity, he committed that sin of adultery with Bathsheba. Many times, Pastor, I think we fall not in our weakness, but we fall at our point of strength. I began to think about that this afternoon. Tonight, we're in the house of God on the first day of a new year. Faithful you are. You're a giving church, a tithing church. You work in and around for the house of around the house of God. God's blessed us time and time again. But the point of our strength can be the point of our failure. Listen to what Luke chapter 10 says, or Luke chapter 18, verse number 10. The Bible says, two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, God's been good to us. God saved my soul. He redeemed me. He quickened me. He made me alive, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I'm not the person that I used to be. But I pray that he would keep us humble. I pray that he would keep us abased and understand that he'd have mercy upon us, that we could exalt him. Peter was rebuking when he should have been receiving. He was boasting when he should have been depending. Let me say, Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying. In verse 44, the Bible says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. This is Jesus in the garden. He's praying, and he's praying earnestly, and his sweat were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why sleepest thee? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Peter was sleeping instead of praying. I'm not being ugly tonight, and I pray that you know that. I'm not being mean. But have you been asleep on God this past year? It seems to me that God's blessed us, and he's been so good to us. He wants to give us personal revival, but yet we boast of who we are and what God's done for us instead of depending on his grace and mercy. We're not receiving his word like we should. And we're sleeping instead of praying. We're yawning in the face of our Almighty God. We say we want our pleasures before prayer. Our own desires before personal devotion. We want our own carnal wants before worshiping the Christ. We're sleeping instead of praying. You know, Jesus is coming soon. I mean, he's coming back. He said he was going to come, and he did. He said he was going to die on a cross, and he did. He said he was going to be buried and raised again, and he did. And he said he's coming back, and he's coming back, church. Jesus is coming back. And Paul said, because of that, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. That ought to be our prayer this year, church. Lord, let me help me not to fall asleep on you. Let me not to be lazy and complacent, but help me be vigilant. Help me be sober. Give me discernment. Give me direction. Give me a desire. Give me determination to serve you, to exalt you, to magnify you, and to follow you. Peter's sleeping when he should have been praying. James 1:26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Back in the late 1800s, that old Scottish Baptist preacher, Oswald Chambers, said this of that verse. This was his commentary on this verse, James 1:26. An unguarded strength is a double weakness. Peter had all these strengths. I mean, he was bold. He was confident. He was in the inner circle of Christ. He had seen great miracles performed. God had been training him for these 3 years. Great strengths. But yet in those strengths, Peter failed. God, church has been good to us. God's been so good to this church, this congregation. He's given us wonderful, beautiful facilities. He's given us finances to pay the bills. He's given us a faithful pastor to preach and to lead the congregation, to shepherd the flock, people who use their talents in the house of God. He's given us a Bible to read and freedom to worship. But an unguarded strength is a double weakness. Peter had great strengths, yet he failed. Let me say, Peter was also fighting when he should have been following. Look at verse 47. Verse number 47. The Bible says, and while yet he spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw that what would follow, they said to him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them, this is Peter, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Peter was fighting when he should have been following. We know the account in Matthew. Jesus said that, Peter, put up your sword. He said, Peter, don't you know the Father could presently give me 12,000 or 12 legions of angels? He said, Peter, put up your sword. This must come. How shall this, unless this be, how shall this come to pass? Let me say, Peter was fighting the wrong enemy. He was fighting the wrong enemy. You know, tonight, church, our enemy is not the lost. Our enemy is not the progressive left or the agnostics or the atheist. That's not our enemy. There's no bullet tonight. There's no bomb. There's no arsenal known to man that can defeat the powers of darkness or the powers of Satan. Only the reviving power of God himself. Peter was fighting the wrong enemy. He was fighting when he should have been following Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:4. This is talking about our weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are the weapons we're supposed to fight with? Our faith, our prayer, obedience, submission, this revival that God wants to give us. Peter's fighting the wrong enemy. Let me say also, Peter was fighting with the wrong energy. Here he is. He's sleeping instead of praying. Here they come. Peter awakens. He draws his sword and begins to fight, hitting Malchus, cutting off his ear. Let me say Peter was fighting in the energy of the flesh. He had a great zeal, a religious determination, a religious zealot Peter was. But may we do, church, what we do, not by zeal only, but by the Spirit and the power of God. He was fighting the wrong enemy. He was fighting with the wrong energy. We need God's Spirit, church. We need His power. We need His touch. We need His presence. You know, tomorrow morning, if we wake up and we realize that we can't make it without God, we can't continue without God, we're totally reliant and dependent upon God, we'll drop to our knees and pray. We would pray and we would touch heaven and we would beg God for His help. And when we don't pray, church, it's more than we're just asleep on Him. It's we're boasting in His face. We're showing our pride just as Peter did. We're saying, Lord, we can handle this on our own. Lord, we don't need You. I got this. We don't need Your help. We don't need Your guidance. We don't need Your protection. We're saying we're fine. Peter was sleeping instead of praying. I was thinking about Job this week. All the things that Job did not have. All the things that Job did not know. Yet it seemed Job prospered and Job passed the test. And here we are in 2023 on the other side of Calvary. All the things that we have. And it seems like we're failing. And we're not passing the test. Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect. He's an upright man. He's one that eschews evil. He's one that feareth God. And you know what Satan told God that Job didn't know? He said, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Job didn't know he was hedged in by God. Job didn't know that God had a hedge of protection around him in every aspect of his life. And all that Job went through, he worshiped God. He did not sin. He did not charge foolishly. Job didn't know he was hedged in. Job didn't have the Word of God. Job didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the promises of God. Job didn't have a church. He didn't have good Christian friends that would support him. Job, let me say, he didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside him. Was Job saved? Oh, yes. But the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, Job didn't have. And Job passed the test. And here we are on the other side of Calvary. We got the Word of God. We have a Bible that has scriptures like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Scriptures like, we know that all things work together for good that love God to them that are called according to His purpose. Scriptures like, ask and it shall be forgiven. Seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be open. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. We have a church, a good church, a great pastor. We have good Christian friends that pray for one another and carry one another's burdens. We have God, the Holy Ghost, living inside of us. All these things we have, yet are we passing the test? Things that Job knew, didn't know, yet he passed. We find here Peter. He's failed God miserably. He's been boasting. He's been sleeping. He's been fighting. He's been rebuking the Word of God. But let me say, this was a new day for Peter. A new beginning. God was going to send revival, a personal revival to Peter. God's going to take Simon Peter And he wants to give him this personal revival. That ought to be our prayer, church, our desire. More than anything, a personal revival with you and I. I want revival for my family. I want revival for the church. I want revival for the community. But it's going to start with a personal revival. Three quick things. Three things that Peter understood and he recognized. The same three things we need to recognize. Number one, that the control of Jesus. Look at verse 59. Verse number 59. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed saying of truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Peter here is outside the hall. They have built a fire. He's sitting amongst them. They're probably warming themselves. He's been accused not once, not twice. The third time, he said, that's one of the disciples. That he talks like him. We've seen him follow him. And Peter said, man, I don't know what you're saying. I'm not one of them. I don't know who this man is. And Peter must have thought at this moment, everything in my life has gotten out of hand. Everything in my life has seemed to fall apart. Peter's not been listening. Peter's not been praying. Peter hasn't understood. Jesus is now arrested. Jesus is being beaten. He's being abused. He's being mocked. He's supposed to be the Messiah. He's the Lord. How could this be? Peter's disappointment. It led to his doubts. And now his doubts has led to the denial. How could this be? Look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Although Peter didn't understand the circumstances and all the chaoses of the moment and the situation, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Peter remembered at that moment that God is still in control. He was in control when he said it to him. He's still in control now. Many of you tonight, your circumstances, your family, your prayers that you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and you said, Lord, it's not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to turn out like this. You've gotten discouraged. You begin to doubt, and it leads to denial. Understand tonight, church, that God is still in control. The Edwards family sang, I think, 3 or 4 Kyler Rowland songs this morning. What a blessing it was. But let me add one to the list. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. Peter's life, it seems like it's falling apart, but he remembers, he understands in verse 61 that Jesus is in control. This past year, it may not went like you desired it to, like you wanted it to. The failures and the way things turned out, Jesus is still in control. You may have family members that are lost and family members you've prayed for and children that are wayward you've desired to come home. Jesus is still in control. Peter learns that Jesus is in control. But let me say number two, he learns the compassion of Jesus in verse number 61. He said the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Jesus is being beat. In verse 63, the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him in the face. Here he's being beat and he's being mocked and he's being spit upon. Yet the compassion of Jesus. He's on his way to his cross. He takes time to turn and look at Peter. I mean, what compassion. Peter's learned here that Jesus has never stopped loving him. Although he's failed him miserably, that Jesus is in control, the compassion of his Savior, although he's failed him, although he's denied him, Jesus has never stopped loving him. One preacher said that God does not change us so he can love us, but God loves us so he can change us. God loves you tonight. It doesn't matter if you're lost, if you're backslidden, if you're despondent upon God, no matter your situation, God loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to keep you that way. The compassion of Jesus, the control of Jesus. Let me say number three, the commitment of Jesus. Back in our verse there, in verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he said unto him, behold, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What did Peter remember? The word of the Lord. The commitment of Jesus. Back to our text verse in verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He knew Peter was going to fail him. He knew Peter was going to deny him. But he says, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I don't want to. It's not my desire. It burdens me and it hurts my heart. But I'm pretty sure that I'll let the Lord down this year. But if I'm saved, if you're saved, the Lord will not let us down. He's committed to his church. There's going to be chastisement. There may be some consequences. But Jesus is committed. The last conversation to his disciples there on the mountain. The last sentence of that conversation. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God's going to use this. Peter's failure. When Peter is fighting, when he should have been following. Peter's sleeping instead he should have been praying. Peter was rebuking the word when he should have been receiving the word. God's going to use all these mistakes. And he's going to send personal Bible to Peter to strengthen the brethren. He's reminded us tonight that he's in control. That he has a compassion for you and I like no one else. And he's committed to you and I. Do you want personal revival? You want to see God do great, mighty things in and around your life? He'll do it if we seek him. Let's stand tonight, church. Sawyer, if you'll come and play something on the piano.